Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Belle Starr.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We would like to thank Tumbleweed Health Center and Studio C, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweed Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedhealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Oh my lord, it's September 7th already. I can't even believe it.
Oh, the year is flying by.
I remember January going, okay, slow down. Slow down, January.
Yeah, and now towards the
September's
end
going,
wanting, yeah.
We're already in it. We're here. Well, welcome. Hi, Kevin Kidd.
Good morning, Belle Starr.
Good morning, Hans.
Belle Starr, thank you for having me here. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. We've got a good show for you guys today. We've got the Hans Report. We're going to have him on at least once a month, I think, now. That'll be fun. And we're going to inform you guys of your rights, which y'all want to know about. We upset everybody by sending out an email that said patients have the right to grow now, but what they all don't understand and don't know is you have always had the rights to grow. So these are some of the topics that Mr. Hans is going to discuss with us.
Mm-hmm.
And what were you talking about this morning?
No, we were talking
about how long THC stays in your system and about impaired driving and how Arizona is dealing with that and how difficult it is to enforce the laws against driving while high because, unlike alcohol, it's kind of the same. Everyone's got a different tolerance. So if I drink one beer and someone else drank six and was fine, I would not be fine. You know what I mean? Like, it's very different. So
yeah.
THC stays in your system because of your fat cells.
Right.
So it binds to your fat cells, and I guess the bigger you are, the heavier
and
you are, the longer it would
take. And the test just says that you have THC. And the
right. So what's the article
say? It
doesn't say how high you are.
What does our article say? Tell us.
Well, this story, it says, starts with a stay-at-home mom from Denver, from the Denver suburbs. Her name is Abby McLean. She's 30 and lives in Northland, Colorado. She was driving home from a late dinner with a friend 2 years ago when she came upon a DUI roadside checkpoint. I hadn't drank or smoked anything, so I was like, let's go through with the checkpoint, she recalls. McLean is a regular marijuana user, but she insists she never drives while high. Still, the cop at the checkpoint tells her he smells marijuana and her eyes are bloodshot. Eventually, he whips out handcuffs and McLean freaks. Like a massive panic attack, and oh my God, I have babies at home. I need to get home. I can't go to jail. She didn't go to jail that night, but she got home hours late. The blood test later revealed McLean had 5 times the legal limit of THC, the mind-altering compound in marijuana.
Colorado's marijuana DUI law is modeled on the one for alcohol, which sets a number determined when someone is too intoxicated to drive. For pot, that number is 5 nanograms of THC per milliliter of blood. Anything above that, and the law says you shouldn't be driving. It may sound like an open and shut case that could have resulted in any number of penalties, but McLean's attorney, Nadav Oshner, had a field day in court with Colorado's marijuana intoxication limit. Even the state's experts will say that number alone is something, but generally not enough. And we really hammered that home, he says. Ashner got a hung jury, and McLean pleaded to a lesser offense. Still, McLean's trip through the criminal justice system is emblematic of numbers that suggest a sharp increase in marijuana DUI arrests in Colorado. So far this year, State Patrol data show that DUI citations rose to 398 through early July, compared with 316 in the same period for 2015. More states may come up with their own marijuana DUI guidelines. Voters in five states, from California to Maine, are deciding this November whether to legalize recreational marijuana. They're weighing the good, the bad, I'm not saying the ugly, and the still unknown. Issues like driving while stoned are still in the unknown category. We really should have a driving while Vicodin out conversation someday. It turns out measuring a person's THC is actually a poor indicator of intoxication. Unlike alcohol, THC gets stored in your fat cells and isn't water-soluble like alcohol, says Thomas Marcotte, co-director of the Center for Medicinal Cannabis Research at the University of California, San Diego. Unlike alcohol, which has a generally linear relationship between the amount of alcohol you consume, your breath alcohol content, and driving performance, the THC route of metabolism is very different, he explains. That's why adapting drunk driving laws to marijuana laws make for bad policy, says Mark Kleiman, a professor of public policy at New York University. You can be positive for THC a week after the last time you even used cannabis, he says. Not subjectively impaired at all, not impaired at all by any objective measure, but still be positive. Still, Colorado and five other states have such laws on the books because pretty much everyone agrees that driving stoned can be dangerous, especially when combined with alcohol. What cops really need is a simple roadside sobriety test. Scientists at UCSD are among researchers working on several apps that could measure how impaired one is behind the wheel. One has a person follow a square moving around a tablet screen with a finger, which measures something called critical tracking. Another app measures time distortion, because things can slow down when a person is high. Those tests are still experimental. Denver District Attorney Mitch Morrissey says that uncertainty doesn't mean Colorado should throw out its THC limit. He says it may not be perfect, but it gives juries another piece of evidence to consider at trial. I think that putting a nanogram level makes sense, says Morrissey. I can't tell you what level it should be. I don't think Colorado is right. I don't think it should be as high as it is. I think it should be lower. Morrissey remembers trying alcohol DUI cases as a young prosecutor. The science wasn't settled then either. The blood alcohol standard was about twice as high as it is now, and it took years for it to be lowered. I think it has to do with better testing and better technology, which Morrissey says will get improved for marijuana too. In the meantime, some regular marijuana users like Abby McLean are scared to drive for fear of failed blood tests. I haven't gone out really since then because I'm paranoid to run into the same surprise. Uh-oh, there's a DUI checkpoint. A checkpoint that could potentially mean thousands more dollars in attorney fees to defend herself.
Yep.
And that story was part of reporting partnership with NPR, local member stations, and Kaiser Health News. Wow. That's
great. My girlfriend went through a checkpoint, and the officer, she rolled down her window, and he looks in, and he goes, drugs or alcohol? She looks up at him and goes, no thanks.
You got to get in right there. Right off the bat.
Oh, my God.
Just say no.
Just say no. Oh, my Lord. Yeah, you know, it's happening, and it's not happening fast enough for anybody who uses cannabis on a regular basis, but it's happening, and all of our states in this country are trying to figure something out. They're trying to figure out, should we let our people use it? How much can they use? What's safe? Because for them, for the people in charge, most of them probably haven't used very much of it themselves, being political and being up, maybe they have, who knows? I'm generalizing. That's a hasty generalization, I'm sorry. But a lot of people making these rules and spending money on negating our laws are people that haven't even used the plant
exactly.
Itself. They don't know about it. They're uneducated. They're ignorant. And that's not a bad thing. You just need to learn. Get on Weed Day Wednesday. Read some science. Read some news. Look at what UCSD is doing. Go talk to Kaiser Health News. You can talk to your local Kaiser Health representative and say, hey, I heard this great article as part of NPR on Weed Day Wednesday, and I'd like to talk more by a doctor about it.
Get involved
and get
ask
educated.
Ask the right questions. And that, you know, when they said it's all about the jury, it's another part of the...
Yeah, the jury needs to be educated, too, of the whole process.
Of the whole process, because if you're bringing in a jury that has no idea what the, you know, blood alcohol content is another, because we've been talking about educating, because everyone drinks and everyone drives. Big shocker out there.
Yeah. But big shocker is that the people that are using Oxy and Dilaudid and Vicodin and morphine, they're not coming out.
And
saying,
they're not,
you know,
talking about the blood level contents of these ones.
No.
It's, that's what I'm saying. It's all about alcohol. Everyone knows about that. And you can buy an alcohol breathalyzer at your local Costco now.
You can also buy a THC kit at the... you know, your smoke shops and stuff to find out your levels.
Good.
But you know where you can find out a lot of information? Tumbleweed Health Center. We're at 4826. We move, folks, right down the street. Don't panic. Don't get scared. If you're in the old parking lot, just turn around and go towards the Guadalajara Grill. You can have lunch before or after. We don't care. We like chips and salsa, guacamole, sour cream. Bring it on over. We'll have some dippers. Come on down, 4826 East Broadway Boulevard. And if you happen to be suffering from any of the conditions that our state will certify you for, like PTSD, cancer, glaucoma, HIV, AIDS, ALS, Crohn's, agitation of Alzheimer's, chronic pain, nausea, muscle spasms, any of that, you should check out Tumbleweed Health Center.
If you suffer from one of these medical conditions and have been diagnosed by an Arizona licensed physician, medical cannabis may help relieve your symptoms. Tumbleweeds Health Center is Arizona's premier cannabis certification, health, and education center. Our primary focus is to help the patients of Arizona obtain their medical marijuana card and educate everyone about medical cannabis. With current medical records, approval is a simple process. Contact Tumbleweeds Health Center to see if you qualify for your Arizona medical marijuana card.
You can contact us. You can call 520-838-4430. Of course, all you geekers out there on the interweb can go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. You can email us at thctucson@gmail.com. And if you're brave enough, we dare you. We always dare people to call in here. 646-915-8421. And I need some more sound effects. It's the Hans Report. I like it. Welcome back, Hans.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. We always love when you're here.
Happy to be here.
Oh, my gosh. We always get excited. We get all fired up because we start learning about all these rights that we thought we didn't have that we come to know that we do have. And we're going to talk about the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act, the AMMA, as they have labeled it. And you've got some discrepancies within that.
Yes, that is correct.
Little act. Why don't you? Yep. You've got, Hans has 3 points he wants to share with us today. We'll see how far we get. We could make it a 3-part series. Who knows?
Okay.
We'll start with the first part. What's our first challenge?
Okay. Hi. Welcome, everyone. The Arizona Medical Marijuana Program has purposefully misinterpreted certain specific statutes of the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act. And as a result of these misinterpretations, medical marijuana patients have been denied a majority of their rights that the AMMA gave to them. People don't realize that their rights are gone if they've never had them.
Right. And if you don't know your rights, you don't have them.
They've never had these rights. They don't know that they have them. So today I'm going to speak about these statutes that the AZDH has misinterpreted.
And I'm going to post some of that. I'm going to actually give you some links to the actual site where we're reading this. So you can check it out, and there's proof right there. This isn't just what you're hearing. It's on their website. Go for it.
You'll be able to look at the statutes themselves, look at what I've written down here, and judge for yourself what you think your rights are. It's not a coincidence that only specific statutes, just the right ones, that gave us the rights, gave the rights to the patients, have been manipulated. It's no accident that the AZDH misinterpreted these statutes and no others. Later, you'll want to find these statutes. You'll go to the main medical marijuana program page on the internet. You select the rules and statutes selection, and you'll be able to see the ARS, Arizona Revised Statute, Title 36. That's half of the rules. If you look right above Statute 36, written in red, it says Arizona Medical Marijuana Rules. If you'll click on that, that'll take you to Title 9, which is the rest of the rules, and a lot of people don't even realize it's there.
And we are actually putting this on our blog right now. I just posted all three links so you could go step by step with Hans and get there yourself.
Excellent. For the first right, let's talk about medical use. If you will look, you'll see that you have the right to use medical marijuana, and in medical use, cultivation, acquisition, possession, cultivation. Cultivation is your right. That is a right that is given to you, and unless they take it away from you, you still have it. The second right is the fact that every patient has the right to sell marijuana. They throw people in jail for doing it. They tell you you can't do it, but we'll discuss that in a moment. And the third right they've taken away is the right to have mother plants, clones, seedlings. They tell you you can only have your 12 plants, but that's not true, and we'll take a look at that also. So let's just take a look at the first one we were talking about, the patient's right to cultivate. In Title 36-2801, paragraph 9, medical use says you can cultivate. And here's what the state and the health department have done.
Can you repeat that paragraph? No, just the number, the article number?
Title 36-2801, paragraph 9 is medical use. And they use two other statutes to say that you can't. And here's what they do. They use Title 36-2804.02A3F. This will all be written down. Registration. And it says, a designation is who will be allowed to cultivate if a dispensary is not living within 25 miles of the patient's home. Then they use the other part, the marijuana rules, R917202F1G, and it says whether the patient is requesting to grow because they live 25 miles away. Both of these sentences refer to you living 25 miles away. Doesn't say anything about living within 25 miles. And they've been used to infer that your cultivation right has been voided, rescinded, invalidated, or taken away, but they don't actually say that it's taken away. They only infer it. They call it the 25-mile rule, and the 25-mile rule does not exist. It's a made-up term to convince patients that you cannot cultivate. When our listeners look at the statutes later on, they'll see for themselves there's no place anywhere in the statute where the status quo of cultivation is taken away from you. What the 25-mile rule is it starts off saying whether you want to cultivate. Whether means a choice of two. So that's a choice of your medical use cultivation rights, or the choice of cultivating if you live 25 miles away and want a caregiver. That was written in there because if you live 25 miles away from a dispensary, they're too far away to service you properly, so therefore you can have a caregiver. And there's a specific way that you have to apply for a caregiver, which is different than asking for your regular cultivation rights. The Arizona Medical Marijuana Program has manipulated the on-site, online website so that a person cannot apply for their rights to grow under medical use and cultivation. They have it set up where you have to let them know if you're 25 miles away or not, and then you can get a caregiver. So they deny the regular person, the regular patient, his medical use rights, and they only let people cultivate if you want a caregiver.
And
illegal manipulation of the site.
And if you live 25 miles away,
you have to live 25 miles away, and there's nothing in there that says you have to live 25 miles away in order to cultivate. We'll be challenging this in the courts. Hopefully we'll win this. I filed last week with the Superior Court, and we'll be addressing this issue specifically and intricately, and hopefully we'll get everybody their cultivation rights back again, so everybody that has a card will be able to cultivate.
That's amazing. That's really an incredible piece of information that they're misconstruing.
Yes, misinterpretations of what they've done. Right.
Wow. So we're going to, and not only did we post the links up here, but we'll put a link on our website to the written text.
That's right. I have this written text, all of the titles, Title 36, 2811B3, they're all written down here. The second right that was taken away from patients was their right to sell medical marijuana to other patients. They have been throwing people in jail, like Mr. Caitlin, Mr. Matlock, for selling marijuana, and they say you cannot sell. Well, I've looked at all the cases that the state has used, and in every single case, they use one particular sentence, which is in Title 36, 2811B3, and that says that the patient cannot sell. It says a patient or a caregiver may be arrested if they transfer marijuana to a dispensary or a patient or a caregiver, as long as nothing of value is transferred. So they use this term, nothing of value is transferred.
Right.
And if you look at the sentence, you might say, well, yes, that's what it means. But if you look at it closely, you'll find out that that's not what it means. And here's why.
Okay.
They say that nothing of value transferred in return applies to a caregiver and a patient. Well, it sounds right, but if you look at it closely and you read the sentence, a caregiver is actually allowed to receive reimbursement. So let's look at the sentence
let's
with
that
thought in mind.
Yeah.
A caregiver that is allowed to receive reimbursement for actual cost may not be arrested for offering or providing marijuana to a patient as long as nothing of value is offered in return.
Okay.
Now the sentence is in contradiction of itself, because at the beginning of the sentence, it says a caregiver who can receive reimbursement will not be arrested as long as he doesn't get any reimbursement, as long as nothing of value is transferred.
Right.
So how can that be? It says he can, and then it
and
says
he
can't. Can. So therefore, the state's opinion that sentence, the part of it where a person may not receive anything, nothing of value is transferred in return, can only apply to the caregiver, to the dispensary part of the sentence. It fits. It makes sense if it applies to the dispensary part. But once you try to apply that to a caregiver and a patient, it doesn't work anymore. It becomes a contradiction to itself. By law, a statute cannot contradict itself. So if you are trying to interpret a statute and it contradicts itself, your interpretation is wrong. And yet, when the state challenges this, usually it's a public defender who is supposed to challenge it, and they don't challenge it. They just say, okay, that must be what the sentence means. But when you look at it closely, the state has absolutely no other supplemental statute or information or way of indicating that you cannot sell to another patient. And this is just inferring it.
Right.
Well, I found two other places in the statutes that absolutely point to the direction and are supplemental to the evidence that you can cultivate.
Now, remember, all of this is online. Now, this isn't... Hans isn't making this up. He didn't go sit on his laptop and create all these things. Hans read the rules and statutes and every part of the AMMA that has been created and found for himself things that lawyers have not even discovered and found and have presented.
I actually had some insight to why these were misinterpreted. We won't be able to discuss that because they'll say I've slandered the director, but there were reasons these were misinterpreted.
Okay.
The other supplemental reason that proves we have the right to sell patient to patient, if you will look in 36-2815 revocation, it says, any cardholder who sells marijuana to a person who is not allowed to possess marijuana for medical purposes under this chapter shall have his registry identification card revoked and shall be subject to other penalties for unauthorized sale of marijuana and other applicable offenses. So basically what this means is that if you sell to someone who's not allowed to possess it, you can have your card revoked. So let's look at that in detail a little bit.
But if you sell to somebody who does have their card?
Well, the state has actually said, and people have said, like Matlock, tried to say, well, this must mean that I can sell to someone that has a card. And the state has said, well, it doesn't actually say that. All it says is that you can be revoked for selling to someone that doesn't have a card. I've looked at that a little bit closer, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit different than the way the state has talked about it. So let's look at it. Let's look at it like this. Okay, Bellstar, let's say you're one person that does not have a card, and that's what they're talking about. Who can possess marijuana? You can't sell to someone that cannot possess
it. Doesn't have a card.
So that only means who can possess it? People that have a card, caregivers and patients. Okay, so let's say, Bell, that you're a person that does not have a card.
Correct.
And Cannabis Kid, let's say that you're a person that does have a card.
Lucky.
And I'm a third person that has a card also. Okay, now let's just look at this statute and see what it says I can and cannot do.
Okay,
Bellstar, you don't have a card, and
sure
I go and I sell marijuana to you. According to this statute, I can be revoked and subject to other penalties for selling to you because you're not allowed to possess it. Okay, now I turn to Mr. Cannabis Kid here, and I sell some marijuana to him. Can I be revoked by this statute for selling marijuana to him?
No.
No, I cannot, because I did not sell to someone who is not allowed to possess it.
Right.
So by definition, my sale must be legal.
Right.
I can't be revoked for it.
Right.
I can sell to him. Can you revoke me? No. Why not?
Because it's
illegal sale.
Yeah.
So that's another way of looking at this one.
Mm-hmm.
I also found where they hid over in Title IX, there is another rule over there which absolutely, positively is definitive as to whether or not we can sell to another patient. Now remember, if you look at medical use in 2801, the ARS, it says you may acquire. Acquisition is the first one. Acquisition, acquire, doesn't just mean sell. It means barter, trade, give, donate. It means a lot of things. And that's why they use the word acquire, to give the patients a broad spectrum of rights. Okay? So if you go over to Title IX, R917-101, definitions, the very first definition is acquire. And the definition for acquire means to obtain through any type of transaction and from any source.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's read that again. What's the definition to acquire?
Any. And remember what the judge said about any before when they were talking about oils. Any means any of the any that might be any. That's what the judge said. So any type of transaction, barter, sell, donate, give, loan, etc., and from any source, any transaction from any source. That's your right. That is a right that you have to acquire marijuana from any transaction, any source. So we have we've negated the
That's
one
huge.
Sentence that they use by showing that it is in juxtaposition of itself, so therefore it cannot mean what they say it means. That's the only sentence they use to prosecute everyone. Then we've looked at revocation and said, well, I can't be revoked for selling to a person that has a card. So that must mean it's a legal sale. And now we look at acquire, and it says we have the right to any transaction from any source. So these are the three issues that that's two of them that will be challenging in the court. They have 20 days to respond to the filing that I did.
You know what else they have 20 days to respond to?
What's that?
I'm a hustler. walk into my house like, what up, I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high, looking like it's FIFA time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of iced tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up, but can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I take a 65? DeVille cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's, and then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a huntin', looking for a pot shop, this is fucking
know about the science of marijuana. What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, they need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy Richard Nixon. Is the president who made the plant illegal, but science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons. I take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers, and bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interests. I call that getting swindled and pimp shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peep game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs, it's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
This is fucking awesome.
This is fucking awesome. Welcome back to Fucking Awesome Wednesday.
I'm Cannabis Ken and
Bellstar here.
We're here with Hans.
The Hun. It's like the fun.
Thank you.
So much good information.
Way better looking.
You kind of missed out on our back talk, but we're going to go over it again.
Yeah, we are, because we're confused and excited all at the same time. And so we were talking about the acquisition of your meds and what we have come to find out that Arizona, thank you, Arizona, they defined acquire. They defined acquisition. So why don't you just read that little part again and tell us. So
acquire means to obtain through any type of transaction and from any source. And if you look in medical use, that is your first right, is acquisition to acquire. Acquisition, possession, cultivation. And you're right, I was very, very excited, and I would be remiss if I didn't add that earlier when I was talking about my girlfriend being stopped, got all excited, but I should say my fiance. She
aww.
Just got engaged.
Yay! Congratulations.
Thank you. Now, on my last issue here, this is something that has never been addressed in the courts. It has not come up because it's in your very first 362801, the very first paragraph in the AMMA is allowable amount. And they tell you your allowable amount is 2.5 ounces every 2 weeks. It's a cumulative, and your 12 plants. But your 12 plants In controlled environmental agriculture, which all the dispensaries use to grow, they have clones, mother plants, seedling, different types of stock, whatever they want.
Yeah.
Okay, that's called incidental marijuana. It's incidental to what you're cultivating, the ones that are blooming. Well, in the very first paragraph of allowable amount of marijuana, where they tell you what you're allowed to possess, they say 2.5 ounces or 12 plants. Well, people haven't noticed, but down there at the bottom, it says something else. We have what's called paragraph C. And paragraph C is kind of, it's not really confusing, but it's written so that it can be misleading. It's not ambiguous. It's just stated loosely and ill-defined. And the sentence is this. See if it makes sense to you when I first read it.
Okay.
Marijuana that is incidental to medical use but is not usable marijuana as defined in this chapter shall not be counted towards a qualifying patient or designated caregiver's allowable amount of marijuana.
Let's just stop right there. You can break it down. Say that again, one more time.
Marijuana that is incidental to medical use but is not usable marijuana as defined in this chapter shall not be counted towards a qualifying patient's or designated caregiver's allowable amount of marijuana. You know what that means?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It means anything that you're not using as for medicine, quote unquote, like your seeds, your clones, your flowers that are blooming that aren't even ready, some that are ready for bud but aren't there, some that are
absolutely,
some that are wet, some that
absolutely
are quote unquote drying.
Right. Now,
anything else
right
that you're not smoking or using.
And most people, when I ask that question, what is allowed, they say roots, stems, and seeds. Well, that's the non-growing stuff. But if we look at the sentence, okay, when you read this sentence above and you use the words that are in the statutes themselves, I like that hat. let's clarify the words by looking at the exact definition. So let's look at the very first word of that sentence, marijuana. And let's go down in the definitions and see
what is
the definition
marijuana
of marijuana.
I love it because that first
it means marijuana in paragraph 8. Marijuana, and this is 36-2801, paragraph 8. Marijuana means all parts of the plant cannabis, whether growing or not, and the seeds of such plant. Notice the word growing or not.
Okay, say that again. I'm going to write that down for these
okay
folks. Okay,
marijuana means any part of the plant of the genus cannabis, whether growing or not, the seeds of some plant, of such plant. Growing. Okay, growing or not.
Growing or not.
Now let's go down here and look at the next word, medical use. Medical use means acquisition, possession, cultivation, manufacture. Let's think of the word cultivation. That's one of our rights of medical use. Now let's look at the definition of usable marijuana. That means the dried flowers of the marijuana plant, any mixture or preparation thereof,
mm-hmm,
oils,
mm-hmm,
but does not include the seed, stalks, or roots of the plant, does not include the weight of any non-marijuana ingredients combined with the marijuana prepared for consumption as food or drink. But what they're talking about is usable marijuana means the dried flowers, and they don't even know what that means. That's the bract leaf that the pistils come out of. When they weigh up your bud, the bud is not a flower. They're supposed to take all the stem and leaf out of it before they weigh your flower. They don't even know what the flower is. But here's my point. Okay, let's look at the sentence again.
That sentence alone could have just gotten a ton of people out of jail.
Yeah, it could have. One guy, they got him for 3 ounces. He was only supposed to have 2.5. Had they not weighed the stem and the leaf in there,
he wouldn't have had
3 ounces.
Yeah, exactly. He wouldn't have had it.
So let's look at the sentence again using the complete ARS definition of the words
okay
that are in the sentence, which is how it should have been written in the first place.
Exactly.
Okay. Marijuana that is growing, that is incidental to cultivation of your 12 plants, but is not the dried flowers, shall not be counted towards a patient's allowable amount.
Oh, my God.
So
I
that means that if you
right
have
now
clones, mother plants, seedlings, these are incidental to medical use, cultivation. You need these to cultivate properly. you can have pre-bloomers ready to bloom when you harvest so that you can start your next crop. If not, you've got to grow a crop 4 months and then start over
from
scratch again.
But they're saying we can't get in trouble for that.
It says it is your allowable amount. This is in the paragraph that tells you your allowable amount. I asked Tom Salo, who is the director of the medical marijuana team. He refused to answer my question and says, oh, we don't define it. And yet in their frequently asked questions, they misinterpret and define sales, incidental.
So what they have on their website is not in accordance with what they have with their own rules and statutes, is what you're saying?
That's correct. They misinterpret this rule. And when I asked Mr. Salo, I said, Mr. Salo, are clones incidental marijuana? I'm not going to answer you. He's supposed to be protecting us and helping us not get arrested or go to jail. And I told him, I said, look, people are going to jail for having more than 12 plants that are incidental marijuana, seedlings, clones, etc. And you guys are not saying anything about it. He said, I'm not going to answer you. I'm not going to say whether clones and seedlings are incidental marijuana or not. And it clearly says there, growing marijuana that's associated with cultivation.
Right.
Cultivation means the cultivation of your 12 plants.
Right.
And I ask him, well, then you tell me, what growing marijuana are we allowed to have besides our 12 plants? He will not answer the question. Kara Kreiss, the head of the Arizona Department of Health, she will not answer the question. So we're going to take them to court and force them to
answer
the
question.
Wow. So,
that's incredible.
That's amazing.
Here's what I have to say. I filed in Superior Court to have these misinterpretations of the medical marijuana program defined properly. These rights have been stolen from the people by the AZDH and hopefully will be returned. Now, I want to encourage all of the medical marijuana patients to read the ARS Title 36, 2801, and Title 9 of the Arizona Medical Marijuana Rules. Be smart, be safe, educate.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That is awesome. Read the rules that we just posted.
You know, and I know it feels like a lot.
It is a lot. That's a lot. I don't even, there's
a lot.
So
the first
much
page.
I can't even.
I was looking, I just kind of rolled upon these. It says rulemaking notice. I don't know if you guys have gotten this. It says the department shall adopt rules right at the top. Like they can just add them in.
They can.
Anytime.
Well, actually, it says that the department has to adopt these rules, and then it gives a time limit. That says they have to adopt these rules. Well, they have not adopted the rules for the homeless people. We got some homeless cultivation cards. After getting them their cultivation cards, they shut down the website and changed it, illegally changed it, to prevent homeless people from getting their cards.
Yeah.
They used that 25-mile rule in residence address. So now if you're a homeless person and you go to get your card, they say, well, you can't fill out the residence address if you're homeless. Where actually, it says if you're homeless in the statute, you don't have to fill out the residence address. But on the site, it says if you cannot use the residence address if you're homeless. And it freezes up the site and won't let you go further. Well, you click the little box that tells you okay, and then unbeknownst to you, further up the screen, it takes your request to cultivate, your residence address away. When you fill out the rest of the form, you get your card, and wow, now you don't have the right to cultivate. And if you don't fill out the residence address and you put your homeless, like the statute says you don't have to fill out the residence address, if you don't fill it out, then when you click your homeless, it says no, you have to have a residence address or you can't cultivate,
right,
which is totally against the law also.
Right.
So they've manipulated this. So what that means, it also says in this rulemaking, that if they haven't promulgated the rules in like 120 days after the program started, that if you try to get a card and within 45 days you don't get your card, your application is your card. So if a homeless person tries to get a card and the site denies them that right, and they take a picture of the site on the computer denying them that right, 45 days later, that's their card. It also says that you can do a mandamus, that if they don't promulgate the rules, you can take a piece of paper, fill out the form with your name, your mailing address, put your doctor's form in there, have it notarized, and that is also a legal certification form for you.
Really?
Yeah. And people don't realize exactly what that means when they read it.
So why don't they put those rules out there? Why aren't they?
Well, they're out there, but nobody understands them. I've talked to so many patients that have cards. They don't know the rules. They have not read them,
mm-hmm.
and they listen to what the health department says, the misinterpretation of the rules. The lawyers listen to the misinterpretation of the rules. The prosecutors listen
Why
to
is
it.
That?
The police listen to it.
Why is that? Because just with the 3 points that you've mentioned today, we know two people that would not have had jail time, felonies, fines, and their houses and cars and jewelry and cash taken away.
The state and dispensary does not want the people to have the rights that the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act gave them. So the previous director, Mr. Humble, he misinterpreted these rules. And there is also a statute right at the very end of all these rules. If you read them, it says public donations. Mr. Humble was allowed to accept, like say if someone wanted to give him $100,000.
Or a car or a boat.
Or a truck.
Anything.
Or a boat and a trailer to pull it with. He is allowed to accept any gifts, cash, private donations. And at the end of the year, it doesn't reserve to the state coffers. That's his to use any way that he wants. So by
and
definition, it's legal bribery.
Yeah, I was going to say, now why
not
would
saying
he accept,
they did that.
Why would
I'm
he accept
saying,
such gifts? Yeah,
well,
I'm not
why
saying.
Would he accept such gifts like that? Saying. Because if they wrote it into the act that he's allowed. I mean, it's just like writing it in. Hey, anyone want to bribe this guy? It's okay. You can give him any money that you want.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that happened, of course.
Not
I'm just saying the rules yeah. open up the door for something like that to happen.
It's just corrupt. Well,
right.
and the sad thing is, you know, patients don't read their rights and their rules. I mean, they don't
right
even
there.
Read their intake forms when they come
mm-hmm.
to fill out applications to get their cards. They don't. They can't even focus for 2 seconds
right.
on their own.
Yeah. And people that want to cultivate. Oh, gee, I can cultivate. I'm going to give you some equipment. I'm going to start growing. And then they let the state bull them and abuse them by telling them, oh, yeah, well, as soon as you dry up whatever you grew, everything but 2.5 ounces becomes illegal, and there's a mechanism that you can give it away. That is so absurd. It's called an absurd result.
Mm.
And anytime someone tries to define a statute, and it ends up being an absurd result, then by definition, their interpretation is wrong. And it's absurd to think that you're going to spend $3,000 buying equipment, you're a caregiver, to grow for
right.
someone else.
Right.
The second, the fourth month when you harvest, dry up your pot, you give 2.5 ounces to the patient, and the rest is illegal, and you're in possession of it.
Right.
That's an absurd result, and yet they say that is a fact.
Well, and what's also absurd is they say that you can get rid of it at such places, right?
You can give it away.
Yeah, you can give
it away.
But, so let's say you gave the example of you grow 12 plants, you give 2.5 ounces away, keep 2.5 for yourself. Well,
they're not clear on that if you can keep 2.5 ounces for yourself or not. It's not clear. Who owns
well,
the pot?
So you give 2.5 ounces away and you go down to your local, you're driving on the way to the dispensary.
Yeah.
You give it to the local dispensary as the
yeah.
law states, then
uh-huh.
your registration
uh-huh.
expired. And
yeah.
there you go.
For any reason, they pull you over. Now you're under arrest with
yeah.
all this illegal
you
marijuana.
You've got 11 plus pounds of pot.
And they say dried buds is usable marijuana. Dried flower is usable marijuana. Okay, so it's almost dry. Is it usable marijuana yet? When does this marijuana above 2.5 ounces become illegal? The second I say, well, it's dry enough, boom, it's illegal.
Right.
That's an absurd result. Mm. And yet the state has taken cases, like the Matlock case, and you say, well, this is the rule. Right here, and the public defender wouldn't even challenge it. Duh, okay. Yeah.
Wow. And that's what they're paid to do.
Of course.
Yes.
That's their job.
Did you hear
that's
that?
That's your job.
Yeah. Well, it's sad.
Sad case.
It is. Well, it's all really sad.
Hopefully, we will resolve this soon.
Yeah. And when do we go to court for this?
They received the health department. Ms. Christ received her subpoena a couple of days ago. I'm waiting for confirmation of that from the courts. As soon as I get my email confirmation, it's my understanding they have 20 days to respond. And if they're smart, they'll take a no contest. If they're smart, they won't show up in court. Because if they show up in court and challenge it, win or lose, it's going to show what they've done. And if they lose, then they're going to be held accountable for keeping their mouth shut while people went to jail. If they take a no contest, they can simply say, well, the cops were abusing the rights. They should have known what everything was. It's not our fault. But if they challenge it and then they're proved to be wrong, which I'm sure they will, then they can be held accountable. So I'm going to suggest to them that they do a no contest. That would be the smartest move for them to do.
And then that, what would that mean for everybody?
That would mean that I win all of what I'm saying here. And the fact is, they're not giving us anything. For 5 years, they've taken away the rights that we have, and all I'm asking them now is to give us the rights back that they misinterpreted and took away from us for the last 5 years or so. Which is...
Amen.
Yeah, where the heck is the sound effect when you need it?
What needs to happen?
Well, it's just sad that... I mean, people get excited, and rightly so. It's, you know, this plant has been a miracle plant for people. I don't like to call it a drug. It's a weird thing. It's had bad history of drugs in the family. So it's a plant, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful plant. People should have access to it. You know, basically we're just coming down to our basic rights. You know, it's helping. It's saving lives. It's changing lives.
Non-toxic.
Not hurting anyone. It's not killing anybody.
Making,
you know,
people's lives better.
It's increasing quality of life. And if you,
absolutely.
If you look, you know, and you talk to any, you know, doctor or nurse that's really in it for the health care, that's their job, is to increase quality of life for people, you know, no matter what stage they're in, whether it's the beginning, middle, or an end stage of life, they're there. Their job is to help you, hopefully. But we've, you know, come across in this society where you can't even get good help at the checkout, you know, and seems to understand the things that you say in English to them, right to their faces, and no one's present anymore. We don't have care in our health care system. People rush you in, they rush you out, they won't keep you overnight in the hospital for anything. I don't care if your left eye popped out, your kidney falling out. They don't, you're fine, go home. There's no care. People aren't present. They are playing video games. They're doing things aside from just being here now.
Wake up. Public.
Yeah, wake up.
Wake up, people.
Wake up, Murpha.
Stand up for your rights. If you want to live free,
stand up.
Stand up for your rights if you want to live free.
You have to.
You have to before they're taken away.
Yeah. One of the greatest things I ever heard when we first opened Tumbleweeds Health Center at 4826 East Broadway Boulevard. There's no suite. We're just right there on the frontage road, right next to the farmers. You can see the farmers insurance sign.
You have to come see your new place.
Oh, it's awesome. Or if you're going across from Guadalajara Grill after lunch or something.
I would do that.
Come on over. But we got this free little constitution book somewhere, teeny tiny little book, and this patient picked it up and he says, "That's awesome. If you don't know your rights, you don't have any." And I was so, to this day, I was so taken back by that. I just How true. And this
one of the top-selling books in the last 4 months.
The Constitution.
Really?
Yeah. Interesting.
Been flying off the shelf.
And you can get your own little.
And that makes me just get chills because.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. It means people are waking up.
Well, and this is our Constitution right here, the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act. So read it, people. Understand what your rights are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is it. Check it out. It's the Declaration,
of Independence.
And the Constitution of the United States. A teeny tiny little book.
I want this book.
I know. It's mine. We can share. Well, we'll get you
As a veteran and as an American, I feel so, silly for not having that book or having really read it as much as I could. I'm telling other people here, know your rights.
I think you can actually
I haven't read this through myself.
You can get little free ones.
The government hands them out.
Yeah, I think they do.
No, they don't want you to know
with
that
joints.
Stuff.
With joints. They hand them out. I think it comes in Urban's tin every month. It's a free constitution. Urban, if you have any of those, can you donate them to us?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, the preface is to encourage people everywhere to better and understand and appreciate the principles of government that are set forth in America's founding documents. The Cato Institute is pleased to publish this pocket edition of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States of America.
You know, I think I'm going to stand up for my right, right here, right now, and rest your lighter.
You may. Let me hand this to you, fine, sir. Oh, here it is. 1776. There it is. How much? Oh, free. Oh, that's for the Prime.
Yeah.
Free shipping with Prime. America's founders gathered in Philadelphia to draft the Declaration of Independence. We won't go into it, but, you know.
We want to tell you how important it is.
It's the same thing. If you don't know your rights, you don't have any, so please read the rules. It's really important. It's really, really, really important. What I've learned from Hans in the last 5 years, he's been coming to Tumble Weed Sales Center and sharing his information and knowledge and education and love of this great plant. He just says to get educated, you know, that's the most important thing, and this guy knows these rules inside and out, and we're really excited. And when you do go to court, we hope you do, because you're going to lay them. Can we go?
Yes, I would love to have backup and support in the courtroom. This may be an arbitration where it's just simply a judge there. I don't think it's going to be a trial because it's less than $50,000. So I have a pretty good idea it's just going to be an arbitration where we'll go before a judge. They will present their case. I'll present mine. Then they'll talk against mine. I'll talk against theirs. We'll do that maybe one more time, and then the judge will make a decision as to who's right and who's wrong. And I feel very confident about the fact that I'm right. I've talked to some of the premier medical marijuana attorneys in the state who lost cases based on the things that I'm showing them now. And when I showed them the rules, they went, oh, my God, you're right.
Yeah.
So hopefully the same thing will prevail when we go to court. I learned many years ago from a very famous attorney in Australia, Marcus Einfield, and he told me something very profound. He said, there's no such thing as justice. There's only law. He got me. I walked into Australia with the marijuana on me. He got me off. And you can also walk into a court and be innocent and go to jail. Paula Huff, I'm talking about you there, girl.
Wow.
And Kyle Caden,
no,
Matt Lott, all of those went to jail when they did absolutely nothing wrong.
And why is it that the lawyers didn't see what you saw?
Because incidental marijuana, they didn't see that because you have to understand what controlled environmental agriculture is. And since I've written 3 books on controlled environmental agriculture, I looked at that paragraph and said, well, this is the sentence in allowable amount of marijuana, which clearly says will not be counted against your allowable amount. Clones, seedlings, except they don't say it. They just say marijuana that's incidental. And then when you look at marijuana and you see that it's growing or not, marijuana that's growing or not, you say, well, what marijuana is growing that's associated with your 12 plants? Well, seedlings, clones, mother plants, and they don't want you to know that you have those rights. So no, when people start growing, unless they have read the rules and know them, and the state tells them, well, you can only have 12 plants, then that's all they know.
Right.
They don't know their rights. Mm-hmm. And I spotted that when I was going over it with a fine-tooth comb, and I said, well, of course, this is what gives you that right. And when I asked the health department about it, they clammed up and will not speak about it. If I could just add something real briefly here.
Sure.
Since marijuana is a Schedule I drug, the state law says that the labeling on it must be done very specific. If I sell you some aspirin and there's no aspirin in it, and I say on the label there's something in it, that's a Class 4 felony for deceiving you. If I tell you there's no codeine in it, and there is codeine in it, that's a lie also, so that's a class 4 felony. Well, they structured the labeling rules for marijuana to fit that state law for a Schedule 1 drug. It is a Schedule 1 drug. So you are required on every bit of marijuana that comes from a dispensary, if you look at R917-317 labeling, it says that the dispensary identification number must be on it, and not written on a piece of paper in a shelf or up on the wall. It must be accompany the marijuana that leaves the dispensary on it, not on the bag, not on the receipt, on the marijuana.
Wow.
It must have the batch number. It must have the date that it was produced or sold. It must tell you whether they grew it, another dispensary grew it, a caregiver, a patient grew it. Mainly, it has to have every additive, pesticide, fungicide, etc. And that's important for medicine because if they're using, say, Eagle 20, and you look at the label and it says Eagle 20, you say, I don't want to shop at that dispensary. If they're using three-part hydroponic, general hydroponics formula, and you say, gee, I don't want those heavy metals in my pot, you might not want to shop at that dispensary.
Right.
If it says organic this and this and this and this and this, you're going to say, hey,
I want to shop
at that dispensary.
Right.
We just had a young man, weighed 70 pounds. He was a veteran. We've been giving him pot for a year and making sure it was good pot. He died recently, but we're happy that we didn't give him something that was poison.
Yeah.
We recently got something from a dispensary that, and I won't name them, but the young gentleman on Facebook said, oh, this stuff tastes like rubber. And he went to the dispensary and told them on their website, and they responded on their website, oh, it was probably the neem oil that the other people we got it from. There was nothing on the label except GDP and something about the people who had made the oil. You couldn't even tell what dispensary it came from, etc. That's a class 4 felony. And when I asked the dispensary owner, what are you going to do about this? I ain't going to do nothing about it. We'll have some other stuff next week, some really nice flavors. You can come in and get those. So they did a class 4 felony by not putting on the label what it was, so this gentleman didn't know what was in it, etc. Then he lied on the website and said, we test all of our stuff, and we know that batch was good. I took it down and had it tested to the people downtown here, out on the west side of town. It had 2,441 parts per million of butane still in it.
Oh, God.
2,600-something parts per million is toxic to a mouse. So every time he took a hit of that, he was taking a hit that was almost toxic to a mouse. And they lied to him and said that they tested it. So we're on the dispensaries for labeling. If your dispensary does not have all the information on it, ask them, why are you breaking the law? Do you know this is a class 4 felony?
Yeah.
Read your own laws, R917-317. And make sure that your dispensary puts everything on the label so you will know whether you want to shop there or not.
And make sure to tune in next week.
Wow.
And we'll talk more about all this. That's crazy. But that's what we tell everybody that comes down to some of these health centers. Go where they test the medicine, but even at that, just be wary. Think people can do what they want with test results.
Yeah.
So, you know, we hope that you all get good medicine out there. Hans, thank you so much for being on here with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, my gosh.
Information and
yeah, I know. Our minds are bursting. We have so many more questions.
Rolling, going.
We'll have you on again and definitely have to get some updates. And
anytime. I'd love to be here. I'll keep you informed of what's going on with this case in the Superior Court.
Absolutely. We'll keep everybody posted. Thanks, Growers House and Tumbleweed Health Center and
Studio C, Bellstar.
Goosebumps Gunslingers. Woo-hoo! Where's that gun thing? Thanks for tuning in. We will see you all next week. Most importantly,
remember be smart, be safe, and educate.
Have a great week, y'all.